hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Wow, it's a real privilege wanting to be able to bring the word. I didn't think I was going to be able to speak anymore after my last operation. I never knew this, and it's just as well I didn't know, but my last operation could have gone two ways. But they told me this after my operation. And they said, Karen, you could have lost your voice altogether, or it could be helpful. And God is so amazing. That's why I love Angie's testimony. If we're believing for something, sure, I would love to see more miracles. But I think what Ange has seen is a miracle. What I have seen and what you're hearing today, I might not sound like I used to, but I don't mind. I've forgotten what I used to sound like. So this morning, what the Lord put on my heart, when John asked me a few weeks ago, he said, Karen, would you like to speak? And I looked at him and I said, yes. And he said, do you know what you're going to speak on? And I said, yes, I do. And what I would love to speak on today, and we don't hear a lot about this, but we often say we're charismatics or we're a Pentecostal church, but we don't hear a lot about receiving power from the Holy Spirit. So this morning, what the Lord put on my heart was to speak on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I thought in the 10 years I've been home, I haven't heard anyone speak on this. And it's such an amazing gift. It's a grace gift. We can't earn or deserve this. All we need to do is ask for it. And I was so privileged that as a 12-year-old, I had just met Jesus. And I can remember Sally, who led me to Jesus. She said, Karen, would you like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm a daughter of immigrants, and money was tough at times when we were growing up. So my first question was, how much does this cost? And I was told it was a free gift, that I couldn't earn or deserve this. But all I needed to do was ask Jesus to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage those of you who have young children today. They are sometimes the easiest to pray for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And since that day, living overseas for so many years, I've had the privilege of literally praying for hundreds and hundreds of people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And as we know, the Bible has so much to say about the Holy Spirit. And why I'm speaking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit this morning, as we can be very familiar with the term, but not the experience. And in Matthew 3, verse 11, is written, John was saying, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I love the scripture in Acts 1:8. And I've been praying for this morning. I said, oh, Lord, I would love it to be like the day of Pentecost. Can you imagine what the day of Pentecost? I don't even think I can imagine what it was like. And in Acts 1:8, it says, we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us, and we will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And you know, the ends of the earth, I get excited because that's us right here. We are the ends of the earth. Now, the truth is, salvation occurs when God's Spirit unites with the human spirit. When a person becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit takes up residence and he or she is born into God's family. So I think I'm just laying the foundation. All of us have received the Holy Spirit, but not all have been baptized in the Holy Spirit experientially. Now, maybe some of us many years ago received this amazing grace gift, but we never use it. We think, why on earth do I need it? And I guess my desire has been for the body of Christ to see that there's such power in speaking in our spiritual language. There's a beauty about speaking in our spiritual language. Some people like to say the language of the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that the baptism and the Holy Spirit is a baptism, meaning a drenching, an overflowing, a saturating of your spirit, soul and body with the Holy Spirit. Who loves the Holy Spirit here this morning? I believe we all do. I'm talking to the right people. I believe it was a promise. It was promised already in the Old Testament. It was prophesied in the book of Joel that God would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Young men, older men, young woman, older woman, children. Now, maybe you say, who can receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? In Acts 2 verse 4, we can all receive when we ask. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues, different languages, as the Spirit enabled them. And I love this. It's for all. And I guess this became such a revelation to me when I was working in Amsterdam, and it was just before Christmas. No, it was just before Easter. And we actually would have an outreach right in the red light area of Amsterdam. And I never forget these prostitutes coming right out of the window. They were Spanish-speaking prostitutes, came right from their work. But I never forget it. After Paula, who I work with, had given her testimony, some came up and actually gave their life to Jesus. And I can remember saying to quite a few of them, you need power. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need power from on high. was so beautiful. I think about 20 of them came up. They had just met Jesus and were baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know what's happened today? There's a church that's grown out of those meetings that we had. There's a church of about 500 people in the center of Amsterdam, and a lot of them were ex-prostitutes who are part of this church. Isn't it wonderful? I love what Jesus does. That's when I saw it's an amazing grace gift. We can't work for it. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. Now, was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit just limited to the day of Pentecost? No. There's four accounts after the day of Pentecost. The Samaritans in the book of Acts. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. The Gentiles, I love that. The house of Cornelius. In Acts 10:45, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. The Ephesian church. Acts 19:1-6. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 14:18, says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. What I felt the Lord put on my heart today is many of us have received this wonderful grace gift, but we really don't know what it's for. We really use it, but I see it as a tremendous tool that we have while we're here on earth. It's going to cease when we go to heaven. We won't need it anymore. But here on earth, it's a wonderful tool. I see it as a tool in my tool chest. And it's amazing. I love in John, and George has actually put the scripture up for me. And it's in John 7. John 7:37-38. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Spirit has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this, he meant the Spirit. And I believe that when we receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's like rivers. And the first river I want to speak about today, it's like a river of edification. In 1 Corinthians 14:4, it says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. It means to build up. Who needs edification? Who sometimes when they wake up in the morning feel as flat as a pancake? I'm going to put up two hands. I really do. John's just saying Mondays. We need that river of edification in the times of weariness. Who's ever had, like they're doing something and just a weariness will fall over them? Or whoever has it when they come to church and all they want to do is just sleep? If someone's sitting next to you doing that, give them a little nudge and tell them to wake up. I love it. It's a river of edification when we're facing temptation. Have you ever wanted to say something and you know that it's not right to say? And you're surely tempted to say something. It's just so wonderful when we can start speaking in our heavenly language. And we don't always have to do it out loud, but it's wonderful. I can remember one young mum, she caught a hold of this. She said, I used to have a terrible temper with my children. And she said, every time I wanted to yell at them, I would go into the bathroom. And she said, I would just start speaking in my heavenly language. And the kids would knock on the door and say, Mummy, why are you spending so much time in the bathroom? It's a wonderful tool. It's a wonderful tool in the midst of a spiritual battle. On Friday, when I was working on my message, it was a tough day. I heard that one of my friends in Australia has fourth stage ovarian cancer. And I had just sort of got over the shock of that when, bing, my phone went, and it was a message from Natasha, who I used to work with in Kazakhstan. And she said, Karen, something terrible has happened. She said, my stepbrother attacked my father, and my father actually stabbed him, and he died. And he's now in prison. What do I do, Karen? I'm just feeling so sad about everything. And I was thinking, Lord, this is not good news. And I felt myself getting weary. I felt myself getting heavy. And I said, Karen, you need to just walk outside. And I just started speaking in my heavenly language. And no, the situation has not changed, but I felt built up. It's a river of communication. In 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, it says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to God, but to men. Speaking in tongues gives us direct access to God with the perfect prayer. Who sometimes doesn't know how to pray? Am I the only one? I sometimes just don't. You're so overwhelmed. Think, I don't know how to pray. But it's so wonderful that we can pray in our spiritual language, in the language of the Holy Spirit. Now, many times when we're doing that, and maybe you've had this too, it's like the enemy would come, loves to come and says, that doesn't make sense what you're doing now. And you know what you do when that happens? You just say, I wasn't talking to you. Doesn't the enemy love to put doubts? When we pray in tongues or when we pray in our spiritual language, the Holy Spirit will show you how to pray for the person. And I love it. When we're speaking in the language of the Holy Spirit or whatever you like to call it, you know when you're talking to the Father. You know when you're worshiping, or you know when you're in warfare. Amen? You just know it. I believe another river, it's a river of mysteries. In 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, it says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with a spirit. The word mystery in New Testament Greek means a former secret that is now opened or disclosed. This means that the Holy Spirit can bring to light things that have been regressed in the subconscious mind. And I love it. The Holy Spirit does this. So anything that would obstruct our growth in grace, he can bring into the light. It's wonderful counseling. I've prayed for hundreds of people. Many times I don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit would many times unlock the key thing that they were needing prayer in. So often we can go round and round in counseling, but when the Holy Spirit shows us the root, it's amazing. Someone can be beautifully healed and set free. It's a river of power. In Acts 1:8, it talks about power to be a witness. God's called each one of us to be a witness. I love the Holy Spirit. I can remember when we were in Kazakhstan, I was invited to speak in Turkestan. Now, Turkestan is in Kazakhstan, but it's like the second Mecca. People can't go to Mecca. They'll make a pilgrimage to Turkestan, which is in Kazakhstan. And I can remember we had sat hours on the train, and I arrived in Shymkent, and they said, oh, we've got another 2.5 hours that we need to go by car. And when I arrived, I never forget it, it was a room a little bit smaller than this, and most of them were Kazakhs, and they just sat and they looked at me. Then I got up to speak, and I thought, I'm not getting through. What do I do, Lord? And I felt that the Lord said to me, sing. I said, Lord, I got a terrible singing voice. They're looking serious now. They're going to look more serious after I sing. And I started to sing. Because I said, Lord, I'll sing first in Russian, then I'll sing in the spirit. I'm going to sing in my heavenly language. And as I started to praise, and as I started to sing, it was absolutely amazing. People that were sitting like this, the tears started running. These men that were just looking at me like, what's this white woman got to tell me? The Holy Spirit, because there's power. It's a river of communication. It's a river of praise. It was so amazing. After the meeting was over and they were all sitting on the floor, and I would go up to them, the power of God would just hit them. And I thought, oh, Lord, it's a river of power. It's a river of praise. It's an amazing gift. And that's what I love about our spiritual language or singing in the spirit. We can go back and forth in English, or we can sing in the spirit. It's been one of the hardest things after all my operations. I used to love to sing in the spirit, and I still do. I think I croak in the spirit now. but that's okay. God loves it because I know that there's power. Many times when people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, I find it very difficult to start speaking in tongues. But many people